Atreides and Shani unite to fight the conspirators who destroyed their families. That is Denis Villanueva's Dune Part 2 out this weekend. It's rated PG-13. Welcome to the weekending March 3rd, 2024 edition of Silver Screen Previews. On the right side, or the lower half side. Let me get myself up here. There we go. That's me. I'm Rob Martin. On the other side of the aisle, we'll welcome back the great Caitlin Skinner. Hello, Caitlin.
Hello, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So Dune 2 obviously is out there, and it's number one at the box office to no surprise. Obviously, it's been hyped up. You've been seeing commercials all over the place. The posters, the online ads, everything is just Dune. Everything's Dune 2. Dune 2. Dune 2. Even the red carpet made news with all the different things that Zendaya was wearing, and also Timothy Chalamet. All right, so we've both seen it. Dune, Part 2. Was it up to your satisfaction? Caitlin Skinner.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking at what it was rated, you know, from the, a lot of times Rotten Tomatoes and the audience, you know, sometimes they don't agree, but both of these were like 94-95%, which I don't think I've ever seen. That was why it was wild.
Right.
I actually hadn't seen the first Dune, so I watched that to get myself up to speed to be able to really understand and enjoy Dune 2. And I'm not a huge, like, takes more than 2 hour movie, but this was, you know, 2 hours and 46 minutes. But I feel like the hype of the visual, you know, the cinematography, like everything definitely lived up to its hype there. I went and saw it in IMAX with my son, and you felt like you were in the movie. So, I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, I definitely recommend, you know, getting to an IMAX theater so you are in surround and you feel like you're right there. Star-studded cast. With, you know, Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya. I really loved the character of that Javier Bardem played.
Yes, he's actually pretty good in this, yes.
Yeah, I actually didn't recognize that it was him until I was looking at, you know,
the voice.
The cast was. Yeah, but he was phenomenal. I thought that he was such a strong character in this. And then Rebecca Ferguson, who played Jessica. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that lady was crazy.
She's great, though.
In all of the wonderful ways that you would want, you know, a character to really have that powerful role. Let's see, Josh Brolin. I thought his character was pretty strong. I enjoy him, but I really feel like everything that you saw and heard was very well done. I was in constant amazement of, like, oh my gosh, how did they do that? How did they the close ups on all of the machinery that's, you know, mining all of
the spice.
Yeah, like how did they pull that off? To all of the extras, they had to be, you know, in the arena where the new Baron is fighting, and just the beauty of all of it, the costuming. I was like, I want to be in a movie like that where I get to wear costumes like that. I mean,
are you sure, though? I mean, some of these costumes, Caitlin, were kind of like, what the hell is going on here?
Okay, well, the Reverend Mother's costumes, they were horror-esque, for sure. I mean, they were creepy. Like I said, they were crazy in all the wonderful ways you want a character to be crazy.
Boy, the subliminal messaging in this movie is all over the top. I mean, come on. I mean, some of the stuff, I'm like, are you serious? We're not going to understand what that is? I mean, come on. All right, but anyway, continue.
Yeah. It was very interesting to see, you know, like the power of the woman versus that could overtake the man and his, you know,
Is it realistic, though? Is it realistic?
The weakness. Yeah. Oh, it's realistic. We've got that power over you for sure.
I'm not gonna say nothing.
But really, you know, there was, for me not seeing the first one, you know, when it came out, like, I think the first one was really hard for me to follow.
1819.
So I feel like, the Dune 2, I felt like the story was a little more direct. Like, it explained more. I felt like by the end of the first Dune with Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya, it was like, that was a long build-up to get to a second movie.
That is true. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, because remember, we're talking about a span of years now. Continue. Yeah.
Yes. Right. But I felt like the second movie, even though it was really, really long, for someone who doesn't typically enjoy movies that are almost 3 hours long, I did not feel like this was 3 hours long. Like, I still felt like, now the first act kind of dragged out.
Ah, there we go. Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Yeah, but by the second act and in the third act, there was, I literally like leaned over to my son and I was like, plot twist, you know? So there are some nice little throw in there, you know, kind of throwback to lots of other kind of sci-fi fantasy movies where you learn some more information about the main characters that kind of throw you through a loop and then kind of make your main antagonist or your main protagonist where you're wondering, oh, is he a good guy or a bad guy? Like,
right.
Where are we going here?
What did you think about Austin Butler's dad in this movie? You know, the blob guy, who we all remember from the 84 movie, which was with Sting. But in that one, it was very grotesque. Here, he's just like a sloth. Were you intimidated by him at all? Did you buy that character?
He reminded me of Jabba the Hutt. Like,
yes,
like
of course.
The gross. You just got the heebie-jeebies from him.
Was it the floating hovercraft?
Yeah.
That he's on.
Yeah, like, what? How is he float? What is going on here? Why is he in this black ooze bathtub and, like, regenerating? I don't know.
I don't know. I can see that. That came out straight out of American Horror Story, by the way. That black bathtub.
Really?
Come on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that he played his character really well. I feel like the chemistry between Zendaya and Timothée Chalamet was really well done. I felt like the build of their relationship, I felt like there was a lot to kind of be left up to your imagination. Like, they showed just enough bits and pieces for you to put all of it together. But, you know, it was not surprising in the third act, you know, kind of what happened where he has this choice to kind of make. And I would say that the whole time, especially in the second one, you know, really, I don't know if you felt this way, but it really challenged religion, you know, because.
Definitely. I mean, you could see Paul, in that one parade where you see kind of like the same Nazi, the swastika stuff. In that whole parade march. I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, come on. You can't tell me that's not the Nazi flag and the whole, German army coming down the whole pike with that stuff.
Oh, I totally felt that same vibe. I thought that exact same thing in that moment. But, you know, it was interesting when Zendaya's character, you know, she's talking about how the prophecy is used to enslave our people. Because if it doesn't happen, then we'll wait forever for it to happen. You have Jessica, his mother, who has her own agenda as a Benghazi. Is that how you say it? I can't remember how to exactly
very close,
say Benghazi.
Very close. Right. There you go.
You know, with the mind control, but kind of like pushing, fanning that he's the Messiah. He's the one kind of two ways, like for the Fremen to come and like lead and rescue them, but also for the Magari people to, you know, continue to kind of rule over everything.
Is he convincing, though? I mean, is he convincing sincerely, Caitlin, as like a tough leader? No, he's supposed. What does he come across as? Because I'm trying to find out myself when I watch the entire movie. And Timothée Chalamet lacks that screen presence all the time. All the other co-stars override him in every single scene. Even Zendaya, looks better acts better than Timothée Chalamet's character in this movie. Am I missing something?
No, I mean, I think he plays it really well where, you know, Zendaya's character is saying, like, he comes off as very sincere. And so I feel like you see that part of him in the first and second act where he truly doesn't believe the hype. Like, he doesn't believe that he is the chosen one, that he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
He is just trying to, he even says, like, I don't want to lead, which then, of course, you know.
Well, he was right on that. I thought he was a poor leader. I should have picked somebody else.
His character is like, see, he doesn't even believe in himself even more as it's written, you know, as it's written.
Austin Butler is a stronger character in this movie than Timothée Chalamet. And I thought maybe, you know, they could have done something tricky where they could have made Austin Butler turn from the bad guy into the good guy and overtake him. But, you know, it's just they want to follow the books. They want to follow the story.
Yes.
I understand that. But do something different to shock the audiences and make them leave the movie theater thinking, you know what, that was a fantastic movie. Instead of playing the beats one after another,
right,
with predictability at a high scale.
Right. You definitely saw what was coming, as he does, right? As he's so supposedly foresees the future. I can see where it is a weird shift towards the end where he changes into this, tries to be more in this leader control, and you can't quite tell if he can pull it off.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought overall it definitely left you at the end like, okay, well, we're ready for the next one, because clearly there's something else going on here. I will say that, like, not having the background of reading the books or having the story, it was kind of confusing even watching the first and then the second 2 days, you know, in a row,
yeah,
to even really grasp, like, what exactly is the spice? Like, I get it allows you to...
It's a blue juice that looks like that Kool-Aid, that blue Kool-Aid fruit punch. That's what it looked like.
Well, that's the water of life. That's the water of life.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Right. The spice is in the sand. It's like that glittery, you know, that they're harvesting or whatever. But I still didn't get, like, why Paul's original planet, like, needed it so badly.
There's no connection. You know,
in order to survive, sort of thing. So, but again, you know, they played lots of themes going through there, like women is power, the whole religion piece. Yeah. The revenge is poison, you know, how are we, what's going to happen if, you know, we lead from our heart, you know, leading from your heart is weakness versus taking revenge is powerful. I don't know. I would say though that, like, I don't know what language they were speaking. If that was a completely made up.
It looked like gibberish to me. Yeah.
But impressive that all of the characters in it were able to speak it with such conviction that it sounded like
that
language.
That is a good point. Yeah,
that was very impressive to me, looking at it from an actor point of view. Like, you know, in order to say something, you really have to understand what you're saying, and to make it come out fluently, I thought that was really impressive.
Final verdict.
I give it a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up from Caitlin Skinner on Dune Part 2. On my behalf, I have to really give a commentary on this film because it took me a while to actually stay awake for this thing. It took me an hour and 8 minutes of nodding in and nodding out. Nodding in, nodding out. I mean, come on, can the drab of the story be any slower than what it was here in Dune 2? Finally, at that cherished 1 hour and 8 minute mark, because I do keep track of this stuff. I'm always writing down notes while I'm watching the movie. Finally, we started getting some real action. The first act, the most impressive thing I think I saw was when Dave Bautista's character bashes this guy's head into the console. Bam, bam. I'm like, yes, WWE. Perfect.
Right.
That's what you do.
And then later you see him, and my son turns to me and goes, how's he still alive? He got smashed into that table.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And then, of course, Austin Butler makes him lick his own boot. Kiss the boot. You get a little blood there.
That's right. Die.
Yeah. Once the action starts, though, it really gets going. And it's really top rate. I can't complain about the special effects here. They're really good.
They're really good.
I think the storyline says a lot, you know, with the planet sometimes trying to follow along. Like I was mentioning before, beat by beat, the story is not always a good thing. You want to shock people with a different, different curveball that you would not have expected. And that's something that I think they missed the boat on. Revenge is not enough. Come on. Of course it is. What are you talking about? I would have made a treatise, like I mentioned before, turn dark or have Austin Butler's character turn to the light side. All of a sudden, something happens to make it more interesting. The cinematography is incredible. The costume, the makeup is incredible. You can't beat that. And I just felt that there needed to be more substance to the story than what we were shown. Is it an upgrade over the first Dune? Yes. Okay. It is. But by not much. I thought, you know, Zendaya was acting more of her character than Timothée Chalamet. Mm-hmm. The exterior characters, well, okay. They were very strong, especially Dave Bautista's character, who came in really handy with his... But, yeah, look, I mean, there was a lot here. I just thought this movie could have been a little bit shorter. Come on. It made people fall asleep at the movie theater. You have their asses fall asleep. Not to mention this ridiculous popcorn holder that is becoming the star of the movie on a sideline. You know, put your hand inside the worm's mouth. Is that what it's all about? Yeah. Oh, God. Come on.
Yeah.
But they're making a ton of money. Yeah. They're making a ton of money, though. They're making a ton of money on that. But anyways, I can't, even with all the good stuff, you have to make it a little bit shorter. This is too long. This thing drabs on too long. Rebecca Ferguson's character, I think, had some scenes there which could have been cut. Christopher Walken, I thought, should have had more airtime than what he got.
Yeah, that was, I did not realize, like, I didn't pay attention to who was going to be in it. So when I saw him, although I will say, I mean, he is Christopher Walken, like, to the point where I'm like, you don't have any other cadence how you speak.
No,
like,
it doesn't matter. It's Christopher Walken, yeah.
I know.
He should have been in this movie more than he was, but, you know, what are you going to do? You can't chop off the airtime of other people, apparently, according to Denis Villeneuve. Okay, so anyways, I have to give, unfortunately, Dune Part 2 a thumbs down.
Wow.
It missed the boat. Yeah, for me, it missed the boat.
Shocked from you.
Yes, I'm shocked myself, but then again, anything could have shocked me before that 1 hour and 8 minute mark, and that probably would have, you know, awakened instead of falling asleep. All right, so I disagree on that one, myself and Caitlin Skinner. She gives it a thumbs up. I give it a thumbs down to Dune Part 2. Let's move on. The second and final film tonight on Silver Screen Previews is Land of Bad. So this one's directed by William Eubank, and it stars Liam Hemsworth, Russell Crowe, and Luke Hemsworth. A special ops operation in the South Philippines spirals into a 48-hour battle for survival. So this is out in limited release, and it came out a few weeks ago, so it's still out there. So go check it out. This is called Land of Bad, and here's a clip rated R right here on Silver Screen Previews. All right, so that's Land of Bad right there. Liam Hemsworth and Russell Crowe in this one. What is your opinion of this film, Land of Bad? Caitlin Skinner.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. I really did. I thought that it was beautifully shot. Again, the special effects I felt like were spot on. This one, I felt like the action just kept on going. You're dropped right into the story from the beginning. So I feel like there was no slow build up in the first act. You were all of a sudden, you didn't even know what was happening. You were there in the jungle of the Philippines, you know, with nice, handsome army men to look at as they, you know, trounce through the forest on a, you know, on a rescue op.
Yeah.
And, you know, Liam Hemsworth's character is there basically by accident, right?
Right.
And very quickly, he's left all alone to kind of, you know, just, I love how it's like, all of a sudden you're like, all is lost. How in the world are they going to make it? It has that same storyline of rescue mission gone bad, and now we need more people to rescue the rescue mission people.
Yes, right.
But I do feel like the relationships that they built with the characters, especially with Russell Crowe, like, he was phenomenal. I know I read some reviews that said they felt like he was just kind of haphazard for doing these low comedy things. I totally disagree.
No, and I agree with that, because I think they're prejudging him, and they're really taking things out of context into regards to acting. He's a top rate actor, always has been.
Oh.
And I think they're shortchanging him because of probably some personal opinions of him. So continue, I'm sorry.
Possibly so. But the way that he connects, you know, he's this drone operator, right? Who's the eyes in the sky, trying to bring in the cavalry when you need it. But the way that he develops a relationship with each character, I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. Is it, do you know, Chika Ikagwe, maybe?
Ikagwe, yes. You got it.
The relationship that he has, even in the scenes that they share together, right from the beginning where she comes in and she wants to talk to him and share something, you know, ask him something important that you don't find out until the end what it is. But, you know, their relationship between one another. And then you see the relationship with his superiors, who are younger than him because of his hot temper, you know, and kind of the buildup. Like, by the end of this movie, and I was watching it from home, I was yelling at the screen, like, cheering them on, like, come on, like, what's gonna happen? It's, you know, I was totally into it. My dog was next to me, like, jumping on my lap, like, what is wrong? What is wrong? You've got high energy here. What's going on? But I was totally entranced, and my attention was kept the entire movie.
Very good.
I think that the pace was really, really well done. Like I said, the action sequences that they had were spot on. He just, you know, Liam Hemsworth's character just kept on roadblock after roadblock. And I once again, there's like a surprise in the third act where,
oh yeah, that's true,
totally fixes things and made me very happy to see. I won't give it away, but I felt like the intensity of this started high and stayed high the whole way through. I feel like the character development in each of the main characters was amazing. Give it a double thumbs up, Land of Bad.
Double thumbs up from Caitlin Skinner, yes, on Land of Bad, which is already out in limited release. Well, you know, for me, this is like a perfect example of what a modern-day military movie should be, 100%. There was not any kind of dull spots at all here.
Mm-mm.
This is just excellent storytelling with quality actors. See, that's the key.
Yeah.
When you have a story, it unravels because you're in the jungles of the Philippines. The situation that was presented here was a kill mission gone bad. Okay, that happens in the first act. But what happens in the rest of the story is about survival. And that's what's impossible not to take into account here when you're judging this movie. It's like, this is good. You are not bored at all. This is not like the last movie we talked about, Dune 2, where you're bored the first hour and 8 minutes. But then here you have a lot of great quality acting. Russell Crowe is fantastic here. Even at the end, when you start thinking, what is going on here? Oh, okay, I get it. I know what's going to happen. And it does, because the storytelling here by William Eubank is fantastic, top rate. And he makes you feel like you're in the action. You know, you're in the jungle. Kind of like felt reminiscent a little bit of the Rambo movies, in the jungle. Yes. And Liam Hemsworth is really showing his acumen as an action star now. You know, like his brother here.
Right.
This is something where it showcases his skills, and it could really lead into more action roles in the future, hopefully, because he really knocks it out of the park here. And you think, you know, that he's like the last guy that they would want on this mission. Huh, but that's because there's a reason for it. But don't get it twisted, because he is the most important character in this movie. He drives the film with his great acting. There's fantastic effects here. They did not spare any money on it. You see it. It's quality effects. Not like other movies, kind of like where you see, you know, like Expendables 4, where the effects are so bad, you just want to turn your face away in pain. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, no, here you have quality special effects. And you feel like, wow, this is really cool. Excellent. The tension building is obviously superb here, how they describe the situation, and they build on it. They build on it. And I think this is one of the best action films so far of the year, in my book. Mm-hmm. And it's underrated. I see it out there. So if you're going to check it out, go check out an action movie that I guarantee you will love it for its grittiness, its story, and its directing, and of course, the acting ability of the actors here. This is called Land of Bad, rated R. So go check it out for yourself. I give it a thumbs up, obviously.
Right. Yay!
There. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's do a quick recap of this week's films on Silver Screen Previews. First, Dune Part 2. Caitlin Skinner.
I give it a thumbs up. Even though it was long, I feel like the story towards the end kept me wanting more.
Very good. I gave it a thumbs down, even though you're blathered with all the special effects and all that. They could have done something different to a variety type on the story to make it more interesting. Zendaya overshadows Timothée Chalamet, if that's possible. Also, Rebecca Ferguson, great job. But still, there is just too much drab in this movie. They could have cut it. They could have edited it much better.
More editing.
Editing needed, please, for the next Dune movie. Don't make it so long. All right, and the second and final film tonight on Silver Screen Previews is Land of Bad, Caitlin Skinner.
Yes, Land of Bad will keep you on the edge of your seat and have you screaming at the screen, cheering them on the whole time. Just so very well done from from the cinematography to the acting to the character development, double thumbs up.
Go see them. Double thumbs up from Caitlin Skinner on Land of Bad. Also, yeah, great action film. Very underrated. I love it the way they set it up. You are not dulled at all. You want to see more. And this is what you get here. Fantastic acting by Liam Hemsworth and Russell Crowe. Very good. So I give this film a thumbs up for Land of Bad. Caitlin Skinner, where can we catch you on social media?
You can catch me right here at The Skinny on Instagram and at Caitlin Skinner on Facebook. And check out my IMDb page as well.
Excellent. We will see you around the way. Caitlin Skinner, thank you so much for your extra opinion and your expert analysis on these films this week.
Thank you so much, Rob. Always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. All right, folks, programming note. Next week, next Sunday, it's the Oscars. And your only place for in-depth coverage is right here on Silver Screen Previews. We start off with the Oscars prediction show coming up 4 o'clock Eastern, right? And between 6 and 7, we're going to cover the red carpet. Myself and the hostess with the mostest, Leah Roman, will be covering all the Oscars action next Sunday, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, once again, right here on Silver Screen Previews. So, on behalf of Caitlin Skinner, I'm Rob Martin, and we'll catch you again next Sunday, right here on Silver Screen Previews.